The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." And so Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first. And he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The gospel of the Lord. If you are standing and you're comfortable, you can remain standing. But if you're looking for a seat, there's still, looks like about 20 seats up here. So feel free to come up. Well, like I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, 6 a.m., we had Mass on the beach. How many people have ever gone to Mass on the beach? All right. How many people have ever celebrated Mass on the beach? Okay, you did. Two-year-old girl. All right, beautiful. It was my first time, and I am told that 10 years ago or so, when we began, this church began the practice, Father Ray, the pastor at the time, was raising up the host for the consecration, and a whale breached behind him. Were there anyone eyewitnesses here? And at the other Masses, there were eyewitnesses also. And it reminds me of our Franciscan tradition. You may know that St. Anthony preached to the fish, and the fish jumped out of the water and gathered in a school and all praised God, seemingly, when he preached. And St. Francis preached to the birds. And scholars, but also I believe, not that I'm not a scholar, you see, that the meaning behind that, or why St. Francis and St. Anthony did that, is because the people to whom they preached wouldn't listen. And it is seemingly like that sometimes. The whale, the fish, the birds, creation recognizes God and gives God praise by being who they created, who God created them to be. But us humans have such a hard time recognizing the source of all creation. We live every day and are greeted by a love letter from God. We lift up our eyes and look around the world. Even though there are difficult things in our world, we can see God's love for us in the goodness, in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones, when others treat one another with love and goodness, because all goodness, all love comes from God, who is love. When God answers those prayers, those seeming coincidences in our lives are all God's little love letter, note to let us know that he loves us. But how do we respond, unlike creation and creatures sometimes? We have our eyes focused down, kind of in our phones, walking around like this, not noticing what God does for us. We complain. We criticize. We look at the negative and not the positive. We focus our lives and worry so much about the worldly things, the things that are passing, things like money, security, our popularity, or power, man-made things that really, in the end, don't matter, at least very much. Seldom do we raise our eyes to heaven and think about and live for the things that really matter. And God, all along watching, longing for us to return a love letter to Him, writes us another letter, or continues the love letter by sending Jesus Christ, His only Son, into our world, true God, true man, through whom all things were created, and in whom all things have an invitation for redemption. God, who is truly good, touches and joins Himself to our wounded and sinful humanity so that we may be purified by His infinite love, our hearts that are small, broken, and unloving. Yet, how did we respond to this love of God? We crucified Him. Yet, God still writes us a love letter and continues, because He was risen from the grave and His church proclaimed Him. But we still, like the time of Jesus, St. Francis and St. Anthony, don't believe and don't recognize that He truly is the Lord. There are many proofs. The scriptures are filled with eyewitness testimony to the resurrections. The 11 disciples, the women. St. Paul even tells us that he appeared to 500 at one time, and he ate with the disciples, and they touched him. He wasn't a ghost. But if we don't believe Scripture, which we should, it's one of the most reliable historical records in humanity on planet Earth. But then outside of the Bible, Josephus, the Jewish scholar, testifies in his History of the Roman Empire how there were disciples of a person called Jesus who claimed he rose from the dead. There are more proofs. St. Peter, in the first reading, one, and like the other disciples who were afraid and abandoned him at his death for fear of their own life, suddenly become emboldened and preach the resurrection. What would explain such a change other than the resurrection? More proofs in Scripture. The Old Testament prophesies and predicts that Christ would come. Christ is prefigured, we now know, in the Old Testament throughout, including the Exodus and Moses, telling us that there will be a new and everlasting Passover in Christ. Over 300 prophecies from the Old Testament fulfilled in the New Testament. Proofs go on. Miracles. The Acts of the Apostles, if you have a chance, read that. It's one of the most exciting books, filled with testimonies of healings, deliverance, mighty works of God. And people believe because they saw those mighty works. But those mighty works haven't ended with the New Testament. They've continued throughout the ages, and miracles abound, and there's historical evidence and eyewitnesses to Fatima, Lourdes, even this church, Our Lady of Guadalupe, and that image given to Juan Diego with the entire imagery in the Aztec native culture that explains the story of Jesus to them. And over 10 million, almost 10 million people converted to Christianity. Still more. Am I wearing you out? You know how hard it is for people to change, to leave behind old practices, cultures. The pagans, the Roman Empire, their worship of gods, their practice, their holidays and their feasts, in the year 312 are converted to Christianity, and the whole culture changes. That's a miracle, and ironically, the very miracle Jesus was crucified for. Because he wasn't going to lead a revolt of violence to overthrow the Roman government. But 300 years later, his disciples, testifying to his love, peacefully convert the pagan nations. And today, 2,000 years later, the church, although not perfect, still present. How can you explain that except for God? And so we, like creation, are invited this day to recognize all that God has done for us, to return that love letter to God. Because in the time of Jesus, when he was coming into Jerusalem, his critics said, "Silence your disciples from proclaiming that you are Lord." And he said, "Even if they should be silenced, the stones themselves would cry out." In other words, all creation praises God. All his creatures, the fish and the birds, praise his God, but not all humans. Let us this day join with creation and creatures and praise God, for he is truly risen. He is Lord. Let us give him thanks and praise. And in closing, all those proofs I mentioned, there's still one greater proof that Jesus is Lord. And you know what? You don't have to be an archaeologist and dig in the dirt to find it. You don't have to be a historian and go through libraries of dusty old books. You don't even need to Google it. Jesus promised that I will be with you to the end of time. When two or more are gathered in his name, he is there in our midst. When we break open the scripture, he's there explaining it to us. When we break the bread, he is present if we lift our hearts to recognize. And so I challenge anyone searching for a deeper relationship with Jesus, ask him, "Lord, are you risen? Are you truly God? Are you truly a savior of the world? Do you truly make a difference in life or in my life? If you can, if you do, if you are, save me. Make me one of your disciples. Fill me with your love. Heal my soul, my longing and yearning for fullness of life. And give me that life you promised, life that is full of God's love that lasts for eternity." Let's ask him if he is risen. And like Scripture promises, he will reveal himself to us. Perhaps not exactly like he did to St. Paul on the road to Damascus, or the 11 disciples, or the women, or the 500. But John's gospel promises that all who ask him will receive and have God reveal God's self to him through the power of the Holy Spirit, to her through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us this day ask him to reveal himself to us more completely so that we too, along with creation and creatures, may praise him and answer his love letter.